Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're all so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! To Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Hey brothers and sisters, it's Jared. In this video, we're going to be taking a look at the satanic antichrist propaganda that is showing its face more and more in these last days. Now, we're told in 1 John 5:19 that we who are the children of God, we know that we're of God, but the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we need to understand that the medias of this world are going to be used by the enemy in this hour as a tool of propaganda against us. So, We're right now going to take a look at a trailer from the TV show The Blacklist.
Thursday, the search for a blacklister takes them where they've never been. Find ways, Lizzie. People will die. A strange cult preparing for acts of terror.
But this is 72 hours before he delivers his version of Armageddon.
And the worst thing the team can do is get caught.
Wrestler!
The Blacklist.
All right, so this television show is called The Blacklist, and what this is basically about is a blacklist of people, suspected criminals and terrorists, who these law enforcement officials and detectives have to find and track down, like a special unit. Now, in this trailer, we see that it says, people are going to die. And then it shows the cross and maybe a church setting. And then immediately after that, it says, a cult is planning for acts of terrorism. And it shows the Bible and the communion cup. Now, we need to understand that Satan is a deceiver. So what he is doing right now in this hour is using the medias of the world to change the public opinion about Christianity, about the Bible, about Jesus Christ. This propaganda is a fulfillment of the scripture. Jesus told us in Matthew 24, verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We can already see the hate of the followers of Christ in many nations throughout the world, and it is showing its face more and more here each and every day. And Hollywood and the media is playing a big part in changing the public opinion on the followers of Jesus Christ. And this is already happening in real life. These shows are meant to aid the satanic agenda that is already going on. Biblical Christians, people who are in right-wing groups, veterans, and other people who would be resistant to this satanic takeover of our society are being put on terrorist watch lists by Homeland Security. I'm going to play a clip of that just so you guys can understand that this is actually stuff that is going on in everyday life. Why do they want to put these people up there? Because they are going to be the most resistant to this shift to the Antichrist system. You must understand that as a follower of Christ, you are going to be marked as one who is undesirable and not fit for this satanic society.
Also, Homeland Security says people who oppose abortion or worry about the threat of illegal aliens could pose a radical threat to America. They're the ones we need to be watching at Homeland Security. Why are conservative values suddenly being singled out as a terror threat?
Department of Homeland Security sent to law enforcement agencies across the country warning about the potential for an increase in right-wing extremist activity. It warns about groups and individuals dedicated to single issues like abortion, immigration, and gun rights, and even raises a red flag about veterans returning home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Some people, understandably, when they caught word of this yesterday, have issues today. J. Allen Seculo, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. How you doing, sir? Good morning to you. What do you make of this?
Good to see you again. Well, listen, this is outrageous. I've got the report in my hand. I read it. I couldn't believe it when I came out. Bill, I had our office verify that it was actually correct. When I read it, there's one thing that's glaringly missing here. No discussion about the real terrorists, the Al-Qaeda cell groups and others that are located inside the United
States.
It's
all about domestic. It's not overseas.
The most dangerous.
It literally changes the entire focus for what the Department of Homeland Security has been doing.
Correct. And it says domestic terrorists, the most dangerous, are single-issue domestic terrorists. And as you said, that includes pro-lifers, that includes people concerned about the issue of immigration, and returning what they call radicalized veterans from the Iraq and Gulf War. Interestingly, the whole article, the whole assessment, as they called it, is entitled Right-Wing Extremism, Radicalization, and Recruitment. I want to tell the Department of Homeland Security, do us all a favor, catch the real terrorists. Don't worry about the grandmother on the street corner holding up a pro-life sign or some guy that legally goes in and buys a gun for hunting. And returning veterans should be handled by Veterans Affairs and make sure they're incorporated back into the society. We owe that to our veterans. But to call them terrorists is just outrageous.
We can see that Hollywood is one of the biggest propaganda tools in our nation. Many people will not read a book. They won't listen to a speech. They won't go and figure out things for themselves, but they will definitely listen to Hollywood. And Satan knows this. He has planted his teachings, Gnosticism, and all of the imagery of the beast in Hollywood movies and media. you can see that in many popular movies, Christians are depicted as crazy or backwards or anything but a clear representation of a follower of Jesus Christ. They often do the end is near thing, where they make the Christian look like a crazy person who's always blabbing about the end is near. But Jesus told us in Matthew 24, starting at verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Then shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, this is a very important verse, and I want to express this to my brothers and sisters who look at these signs and say, oh, they've been saying it for a long time. They said this in World War II. They said this in 2012. They said, listen, it doesn't matter what people say. I will never tell you a date when the Lord is coming. But we are told here in verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." He's going to come when we don't expect it. You need to understand that. So don't think that you're going to have an idea like, oh, I know when Jesus is coming. He's going to come when you don't expect it. Now, it says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." We need to be found speaking the truth when he comes. We're not going to be surprised that Jesus came, because he told us he would. But he's going to come when we don't expect it. So we must be ready and be doing the Master's work when he does come. For those who aren't doing the Master's work, those who say, oh, they've been saying this for a long time, and go and enjoy these things that the world is enjoying, which it refers to as smiting his fellow servants, saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about, calm down, and eat and drink with the drunken, go and partake of the things that they are taking of instead of doing the Master's work. It's very clear cut on what it says. It says that he shall cut him asunder, that means separate him, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell, guys. That is serious, serious words. So I just want to give an exhortation to brothers and sisters who are often saying, oh, dude, calm down. Just stop it. Listen, make sure that you're not eating and drinking with the drunken. I love you too much to not tell you these things. This is what Scripture tells us, and we need to be in the Word so that this is given to us each and every day and presented to us anew. So I just want to say that when it makes fun of the people saying the end is near, obviously it gives a caricature of it, and we are not supposed to be as these people are, with the crazy face expressions, yelling at people, screaming at them, getting in the flesh. No, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God when we do this and speak the truth. The end is near. We are told time and time again in Scripture that it is the last time. Once Jesus came, died, and rose again, that was the beginning of the last times. So our God is long-suffering, willing that none should perish, but we must know the hour in which we live. And the media is going to mock what we are saying, because the media is controlled by the prince of the power of the air. It is of this world. So it's going to use foolish people to say the same thing to try and shift the public opinion and plant seeds that, wow, people who say this stuff are foolish. Or another way that they are attacking Christianity is having serial killers and murderers quote Scripture and say that they are followers of Jesus Christ, to give a false depiction in people's minds of what a follower of Christ is. We can see this clearly in Pulp Fiction, where Samuel L. Jackson's character would openly kill people and quote Scripture. And this should not be a surprise to us, because Hollywood is one of the focal points of this world. It's one of the kingdoms of this planet. We need to understand what Hollywood is as believers in Christ, so that we are not deceived by its sorcery. Hollywood is the wood that witches would use to cast spells of sleep on people. And we see that that is what happens when people watch television and movies. They go into a state of sleep where their mind is very receptive to these teachings that Hollywood is sending out. And they are teachings of the Antichrist. So just be aware, be watchful, be testing of the spirits. We're told in Scripture to test the spirits to see if they are of God. And the reason we must do that is because we are in enemy territory. We are foreigners and exiles here. We should not be comfortable in this place. We have another home. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. This world is being manipulated by the evil one so he can erect a kingdom for himself. This kingdom will fall, and we must not become deceived by it and be conformed to it. The Bible tells us, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? By being in the Word of God, by fellowshipping with other believers, by being in prayer and communication with our Lord, by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we ought not to grieve the Holy Spirit by which we are sealed unto salvation. That is something that we should be mindful of. The stuff of this world that we harbor in our heart grieves the Holy Spirit. Know not that we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit in us, and that should be something that we are mindful of each and every day. I posted a video called Hollywood Satanism End Time Sermons, and this is part one. I'm going to leave a link to that in the description. For those of you who see what is going on in this hour, I strongly suggest you watch it. It's at my channel, End Time Sermons. If you guys have not been over here, I'm going to be posting a lot of videos up here. Right now I have a couple playlists. There's End Time Sermons, Battle with Sexual Sin, End Time Christianity, and Antichrist Media Exposed. But I'm going to be having more playlists, more sermons. God has blessed me with the ability to listen to sermons at work, and I'm going to be posting up the ones that he lays on my heart for the body of Christ in this hour. So I strongly suggest you subscribe to this channel. Check out some of the stuff that is on here. This is the meat and due season that the Lord was talking about. And do not forsake the Word of God. It is extremely important in this hour. It's the bread of life. You're not going to be able to live spiritually if you don't eat. And also, it's the sword of the Spirit. You're not going to be able to fight if you don't have your sword. So be in the Word of God daily. Daily. Satan is always going to try and keep you from God's Word, and he's always going to challenge God's Word. So God bless you all. Be well in the Lord, and be watchful and mindful of this media that is trying to shift public opinion away from the truth of Jesus Christ and shift it towards a satanic mindset and understanding of the world. It's going to be attacking Christianity. It's going to be mocking them, making them look fake, making them look irrelevant. It's always going to be posting up stuff about the Westboro Baptists and other crazy cults that it can use to slander the name of Jesus Christ. So God bless you.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. Start
starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Hello, everybody. So, King Shaziz the Terrible. If you were listening to the beginning of this show, you heard a video clip that I played there. And I know there's a lot of people out there that disagree with some of the things in that, some of the content or whatever. I posted a link to the actual video in the Shaziz chat room and in the Awake Trip chat room. I also got a pretty unique comment out of the thing, but let me start off by saying this. I don't say what I think people need to hear in order to make them feel good. I just say what, in my mind, I feel to be the truth. Now, is my truth the only truth? No, it's not. Is my truth the right truth? I don't know. It's only the truth that that I have access from these experiences of mine in my own personal life and spiritual journey. And so with that said, you know, before the Illuminati, before the Freemasons, before all the conspiracy theories, before all this things that I see going on into the world, before any of that knowledge was in my head, when I was a child, I was raised in a Christian family with a Holy Bible as a spiritual guidance, and so I learned my values from that system. And it works for me. It's worked for me for 49 years of my life. And I'd just like to point out that before all the conspiracy theories, before all the New Age movements and all the different things that you see out there on the internet, you know, UFO technologies or hidden past to hidden histories, so on and so forth. This was my life before all of this knowledge came about, before I stepped foot on the internet to see all the different stories and versions of the stories that have been told. I got my mic on, Muddy. Let me try. Alright, hold on. I got to check and make sure my mic's going.
So on and so forth.
Yeah, it's going. Mighty just can't hear. Alright, anyway. What, before all these different stories, before all the different secret society knowledge in ancient aliens and New Age religions and all this other stuff, this is where I came from. This is the book that I read from. And it's kind of ironic that over 2,000 years ago, some folks put some stuff down in a book that not only had some moral values that I learned to live by, that they also had parallels in the real world. Now, could all this through my entire life be some sort of mass mind control thing that, which is another conspiracy out there? People believe in mind control. They believe in ancient aliens. They believe in the third eye, the spiritual enlightenment, all kinds of stuff. There's such a wide variety of what's believed and what's not believed out there in this world that it's just mind-boggling. And so, You can get a different version depending on who you talk to. Anyway, So this is where I came from. You know, ironically enough, 2,000 years ago or more, some folks sat down and wrote a bunch of text on some paper, and it turned out to eventually be in multiple versions of a Bible. Everything from the King James Version to the New Word and all kinds of different other versions. And, you know, the Muslims have their Quran and so on and so forth. It just such a wide variety. So anyway, 2,000 years ago, somebody put some words down that just seemed to parallel everything that's going on in society today. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, you know, you name it. And, you know, people talk about Mother Earth, you know, and from my point of view, from where I was studied, is that they worship the creation as opposed to the creator, and so I don't subscribe to that. However, I don't either attack them or anything like that. You know, here on Shaziz Radio Network, you got a platform to speak. And as long as it's respectful, you can tell your side of the story just like I can tell my side of the story. We can agree to disagree in a respectful manner and just, you know, just try to work through it. The whole thing is, if you're seriously awake and you're seriously trying to fight against a New World Order agenda or an Agenda 21 or a one world government system, then you have to understand by looking at from my faith, I'm fighting against the same exact thing. As a Christian, I'm never going to accept the mark of the beast, you know, that is prophesied in the Bible. I'm not going to take it. You know, nobody's going to implant a number or tag on me and basically put me into bondage for their system as a slave or whatever, you know. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be one of the ones they fight that fight against it. You know, I'm going to be one of the guys in that video that the man talks about that's going to resist that system. And so, by definition, that would make me a terrorist. You know, I'm one to worry about. I'm also a veteran, so that puts another mark against me. I'm outspoken politically, so that puts another mark against me. You know, and I point out things that I'm sure that this New World Order government wouldn't want anybody to point out. And so that puts another mark against me. So, either way, you know, it just, it's a spiritual journey that you're going to have to walk yourself. You know, I can't put in your heart anything more than a seed, an idea, something that you can look into yourself, and it's up to you to discern whether or not it's truth or non-truth. I can only speak in a respectful manner and answer the questions about my faith. What, you know, what is it about my faith that you think that makes me a terrorist, or it makes me a bad person or stupid because I believe? You know, I've listened to Sister Tracy a lot, you know, and I see a message up there in the chat room that I do kind of find disheartening, because, you know, while I wouldn't talk against what she believes in, I wouldn't, you know, may necessarily follow what she believes in, you know, unless I believed in it myself. But the comment was, I wish people could start believing in themselves and each other than some boogeyman or sky god. Now see, if you took that comment apart, and it was down to, I wish people could just start believing in themselves, that's an uplifting kind of thing there. But the boogeyman and the sky, boogeyman or sky god, whether it was meant that way or not, it's degrading to other people's beliefs. You know, I don't think as my God is a boogeyman or, you know, a wizard in the sky or some sort of fairy flying around in I think of my God as my God. And it's as simple as that. You know, I walk my faith and I treat others as I want to be treated, and you know, in hopes that they would reciprocate and treat me the way that I would want to be treated. Now, I'm not singling out Sister Tracy for saying that comment. There's a lot of folks that, you know, just tune out when they hear anything remotely related to God. But the parallel that you may or may not be missing out there is the fact that all faiths out there are under attack. You know, if the New World Order really does exist, if this Illuminati Luciferian system really does exist, if it's really out there, what is to say that your faith is going to be any better than my faith, or the next faith, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Muslim, the Christian, the atheist, whatever, you know? What is to say that your faith isn't the next in line? You know, there's a little clip I heard out there at one point in time that said that, you know, when they came for the black man, you said nothing. When they came from the yellow man, you said nothing. When they came from the red man, you said nothing. And so on and so forth until it gets all the way down and then it finally says, when they came for you, there was nobody standing there to help you. If indeed we're all fighting the same cause against the one world government or the Luciferian society or whatever, the secret societies that everybody talks about, all the conspiracies and such, if we're indeed truly on the same side of fighting against them, then we could put our religious biases to the side, you know, not keep our faith. I can keep my faith and still try to help you to help the world at the same time. And if I lead by example, and when you see what I've done with my life and you see something outside of your life that looks like it's beneficial that you can adopt, and maybe, who knows, maybe one day you would pick up the Bible and read it for yourself. You know, when you go back to all the research that you've done out here on the internet and you look and you got to ask the question, why is it that anybody would put this information before me? Are they doing it for my benefit? Is it truth or is it not truth? I'm sure that most people that are listening right now are at least my age or younger. And so when I go out there and I'm searching for the truth, whether it be whatever news media is out there saying, whatever it is they're saying, or whatever alternative media, I try to verify. And the Bible talks a lot about verifying. Jesus, if you go and read the quotes from Jesus all over through the Bible, he talks about verifying what he says. And so, you know, I take that to heart. I go out and I verify. You know, if somebody come down here and said, hey, I'm Jesus, I'm here, you know, I would have to verify, you know, maybe at my own risk, who knows. Either way is I don't follow blindly my faith. I don't follow blindly anything that anybody has said to me or whatever. I follow what I feel in my heart is the right direction from the way that I was raised and my beliefs as I was being raised. You know, I've talked to atheists out there before that had said, well, you know, if God was such a loving God, why would he allow this or that, you know? Why don't he just come down here and strike evil down? Well, you know, I guess that would be all right if God just came down and struck evil down and basically told everybody, worship me or else, that's it. You know, and if you didn't, then you got struck by lightning or worse. But instead he gave all of us free will, gave us opportunity to go out there and make our own mistakes and make our own decisions and find our way through the mess that we call life and work our way back to him. Maybe figuring that if we came back in love, then that's the way that he would want it to be to begin with. You know, even give us a path back. But regardless of what you believe or disbelieve, the fact still remains. You know, I wish people could start believing in themselves and each other than some boogeyman or sky god. That's degrading, you know? Pretty much tells me that, you know, my faith doesn't hold any water, right? You know, my choice doesn't matter. Your choice is right. But once again, While you did all your research throughout your entire life, has there ever been anybody who led you astray from your own spiritual journey? Has there been ever been anybody ever put out any information that wasn't necessarily the truth? Or was it all so truthful that you would basically be willing to give your life to stand up and fight for that truth? You know? What if we were all lied to? What if the whole entire thing was nothing more than a huge mind screw of epic proportions, and essentially that somebody was just messing around with everybody, putting all this information out here to keep you in fear and keep you under control, and while we're all running around like chickens with our head cut off trying to find our spiritual enlightenment, they're just running amok in the world and getting filthy, stinking rich and being kings all over the place. Until the day comes when either God shows up or we all die and just turn to dust, none of us are really going to know. And so everything that we do in life is going to rely on faith itself. I'm going to have faith that my truth that I was raised on is the truth. And as long as it feels right in my heart, and as long as I believe it, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on being a Christian. And don't try to lump me in with the other Christians out there in the world that call themselves Christians but don't walk the walk or talk the talk or anything. They don't conform to the belief that I see as a true Christian. See, when Jesus Christ in the book come down here, he didn't come down here to start a religion. So count me out of the whole religion thing. I'm not religious. I don't subscribe to any religion. Because Jesus Christ said in that book, he said that anytime two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. So everywhere is church for me. If I'm fellowshipping with anybody in this world, and we're talking about the scriptures as written in that book, then we are in church. I don't conform to any governmental system towards any organized religion. And I disagree with their actions if they go against anything it says in there. It said clearly in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. It didn't have no ifs, ands, or buts, subsection A, article B, in the fine print, under whatever paragraph. It didn't have that. It just said clearly, thou shalt not kill. And so killing for me is not even an option. So how could I be a terrorist? How could I be a terrorist for what I believe in? If I'm a pro-lifer and I believe that life begins at conception, and I disagree with the ones who say, well, you got a right to choose or whatever, if I believe in life, then why would that make me such a bad person? You know, you're all on your own spiritual journey, and to each his own for every individual. Their own body is their own life, their own spiritual journey, and it's not for me to judge. I just say what I say because what I see in that book tells me that certain things are wrong. Could it very well possibly be that maybe I've interpreted the book wrong, or maybe somebody in my life has steered me in the wrong direction and maybe, you know, lied to me a bit? Yeah, it's highly possible. There's not a single soul out there who hasn't been lied to at some point in time. You know, we've all been lied to. We've all been deceived. We've all been told things. We've all been had our histories rearranged to suit people's agendas. But ironically enough, that book also says that that would happen as well. It says that there would be wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, all that stuff. It's all right there. Plain as day. So for me, that is truth. You know, and if the end comes and I'm wrong and my beliefs aren't the right ones, then I will be the one who has to deal with my own personal journey, my own personal choices. But if you're truly full of love, if you're truly awake, if you're truly caring about the society that we live in, this world, this Mother Earth or whatever, you know? Then why would you want to, unless somebody was making harm upon you, why would you want to degrade them? Why would you want to do that? You know, if you're going to work hand in hand with somebody, you're not going to get the Muslim to convert to Buddhism unless he chooses to do so. You're not going to get the atheist to convert to Christianity unless they choose to do so. And if you're trying to force anybody into believing the way that you believe, that makes you worse than the person you're trying to force into. You have no right to try to force anybody to believe anything, to degrade them for believing in what they believe. If you want to be a true light, then you need to be a guiding light, a light that shines out there as an example of what to do, as opposed to what to not to do. You know, if you've got some research and some evidence that says, hey, you know, look, I got proof, you know, God doesn't exist. This is hardcore proof. This is irrefutable, deniable, undeniable. And Jesus Christ wasn't nothing more than an old New Age hippie way back in 2,000 years ago. That's all he was. And you can prove that to me beyond a shadow of a doubt and take that feeling out of my heart that tells me that book is right. Then maybe you can get me to go on over to the other side. But I highly doubt it. Because everything that I've seen thus far has told me that my faith is on the right track. I still feel right. I watch out for evil. I watch out for secret societies. I watch out for all the different doomsday scenarios. I watch out for everything under the sun. And to some extent, I'm so chronically paranoid that I just can't even stand it. But I look at that book as my only refuge, my hope, my faith. And when that book keeps telling me the same thing that I keep seeing in this world, that's the only verification that I've got so far. You know, it parallels everything I've seen in the world. Maybe it's a case of I'm creating this world. Maybe this entire thing, all this mess is all my fault. Maybe I did it. Maybe I'm the one who basically came into the world and brought about chaos. You know, things did kind of go down the hill whenever I was born. 1965 was actually the very last year, actually the very first year that they stopped making quarters and dimes out of real silver. Everybody started getting cheated the day I was born. Coincidence? I don't know. Maybe my reality has affected your reality to such an extent that, you know, it's caused you harm. The truth is out there, folks. But the truth ain't never going to be got by degrading one another. The world isn't never going to get any better by talking down to each other. We're not going to be able to stop the wars or the rumors of wars or the plagues or the famines or the pestilence until we as humans decide to take all this beauty that we have around us, whether you believe it's from Gaia, Mother Earth, or Jesus Christ or God, or Muhammad or Buddha or whatever, regardless of how you believe it got here, the fact remains we're all in the same boat, and until we all get together and start using these resources in this world the way that our faith would tell us that it's the right way, until we start taking care of it, until we stop warring nation against nation and man against man and faith against faith, then that book, Revelations, is going to play out. It's the path we're on. You know, it is the vision. It is the final truth. Whenever mankind finally gets to a certain point, we will literally destroy ourselves and one another. So, whether it came from your book or my book, I'm seeing it at the end of my book, it tells a story. If anything else, somebody should look at that book as a warning. You know, thou shalt not kill. Somebody's going to want to kill you. Thou shalt not steal. Somebody's going to want to steal from you. Treat others as you'd want to be treated, and so on and so forth. It's all through that entire book. And so whether you believe or not, whether you're an atheist or not, What good does it do you, the atheist, to attack me, the Christian, because you think I'm stupid and looking at a sky god or something like that, or a wizard or a fairy, or believing in dreams? I'm sure that at some point in your life you came to the conclusion that this world was messed up, or you wouldn't be where you're at right now. You wouldn't be trying to speak the truths that you found on your spiritual journey. Until we realize that, until we realize our true potential, until we realize this amazing gift that came to us via whether just a chaotic explosion in the space that came from some singularity that magically made everything, or that God spoke into the existence, said let there be light, and so on and so forth, or the universe created it, or you can create it. Until we get down to the point where we all know all that kind of stuff, until all answers have been solved, all questions have been solved, all answers have been given, until everybody has all the knowledge that there is, we need to start working together. We need to take care of this beautiful earth that we're on. We need to take care of the things in nature, to be good caretakers of the animals and one another. You are your brother's keeper. You're your sister's keeper. You are there to be a servant to one another, to be a companion to one another, a brother and sister to one another, a mother or father to one another. Until you get that, it doesn't matter which spiritual journey you're on. You're on the road to total chaos. You're on the road to total destruction. Until you figure that out, arguing with me whether or not I should believe or not believe, it's not going to accomplish nothing. You can't convert a Christian to Satanism unless that Christian chooses to do so. You can't force a Christian to take a mark of the beast that is against his or her faith unless they choose to do so. Otherwise, if it was that simple, Satan would just come out and bam, everybody takes the mark, you got it, whether you like it, that's it, you know? Or he could trick you into it. No matter how you look at it. You know, and I see the same exact thing in the alternative energy community. Some people looking for 0 point, some people looking for over unity, some people looking for free energy, you know, and they're all arguing amongst each other and accomplishing very little, because together they could have solved the issue a long time ago because we have everything we need. There's still commercials on TV with starving babies. There's still commercials on TV, people trying to sell you smut and propaganda. There's still news all over the TV about this person shooting that person, or this race attacking that race. This war over here, these children dying in bomb zones, drone strikes, government propaganda, lies, poisoning your vaccines, poisoning your water, you know, all of this stuff. All of it. You don't like it. I don't like it. We are in agreement there. But we can't be in agreement that, you know, I can believe in my own beliefs and you can believe in your own beliefs without degrading one another. According to the United States government, I'm a terrorist. Ex-veteran. Conservative, so to speak. I don't know. Maybe I'm more of a libertarian. But, I got faith in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. That makes me a terrorist. If I come over and offend you, anybody who knows old King Shaziz the Terrible knows for a fact that every time I think I've offended somebody, I do go out of my way to try to resolve it, because I don't feel like, you know, I want to make anybody's life any worse than what their life is already, because I know that this world is messed up. You know, It was all about bringing people together. To be awake, to be enlightened, whatever you want to call it. We got so much potential, more than even the New Ager gives themselves credit for. The one thing we are not God. None of us are gods. And even though we want to try to think that we're gods, unless we are out here actually literally creating this world on an individual group basis or whatever, unless we have every single answer to every single question ever in the existence of time, unless we have mathematical perfection, we're not gods. We're just people. I'm a human just like you're a human. And if there's lizard people out there, you know, come on. Lizard people, gray aliens, who cares? If they are here and they're trying to destroy this planet or terraform it into something else or basically just bring about doomsday or the apocalypse, they're on the same boat unless they got a good fast ship that can get off this rock in time to save their own butt. Then maybe they ought not be tearing it down. And why would you want to kill off all your slaves? Then you'd have to get up off the couch and do some work. So, these are questions. My book has answers for me. And if it works for me, please allow me the courtesy of doing that on my own. If it's not stepping on your toes and it's not trying to cram it down your throat, it's not trying to tell you that you're a bad person because you don't believe what I believe. You know, if people out there understood the true meaning of Christianity, they wouldn't be talking bad about Christianity. Once again, Jesus Christ was not a Christian. Jesus Christ did not come down here to start a religion. Jesus Christ wasn't a Christian. Jesus Christ was the Christ according to my faith, according to my book. He didn't come down here to tell you that you had to be religious. He came down here to do what he did in that book. And if you want to know about it all, it's as simple, just read it. You don't have to believe it. Just read it. Just check it out. Start from finish. You can go out and watch Zeitgeist if you want. And that way you'll have a comparison. What's it, you know, is this pagan? Is this Christian? Is this all a scam from start to finish? Have we all been scammed? If I'm scammed, then chances are you're scammed. If there were ancient aliens on here, the history's been hidden. If there weren't ancient aliens on here and the book played out exactly the way it is, then we're all, you know, supposed to be on our toes to keep eyes out for signs. Because no man knows the time or day. Says he will come like a thief in the night. Death will come to you in your house or your car or your world like a thief in the night. So, what you do on this world may or may not have any consequence in the afterlife. But what you do on this world will definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, because we are all interconnected. We're all brothers and sisters, regardless of whether you're a black man and I'm a white man. Whether you're an Indian or I'm an Indian. Whether we're a mixed breed, a mutt, so to speak. Half breed, whatever, all the crazy labels that people put on each other. Death is going to come to us, each and every one of us, individually. You're not going to necessarily die with your brothers and sisters. You may die alone. But when that time comes, it's going to come without any kind of warning. It's going to come without any kind of label. It's just going to come. And everything that you've done in your life will put a stone down for somebody else in their life, the future generations to come. And if these words of wisdom that I'm trying to speak out to the world from my heart go by the wayside and never get heard, then it was never meant to be. But if for some divine intervention I'm being told this is what should be said, this is what common sense that people should be paying attention to, then all I got to do is put my hands out as the scales of justice, and I got to look, in this hand I got the world as is, and this hand I have the dream. And folks, I have to tell you that the hand that has the dream in it looks a whole lot better than the hand that has the world in it. The world as it stands isn't very nice. All I got to measure the difference between right from wrong is what I've seen in my own personal life. All I've got is what I've got. I put my hand on this book and I asked my Lord to give me the words to say to reach out and touch everybody's heart in this world. There's nothing I can do to save each and every one of you. I can't force you to believe or disbelieve in anything, and I wouldn't even think about it. It's not my right to tamper with your life. But as we're in this world together, in the same boat we're riding around in, I care about nature just like you care about nature. I care about each other just like you care about each other. Doesn't matter to me your color, your race. It only matters to me your actions. It only matters to me that you're not out hurting other people. And that I'm not out hurting you. Peace. Peace never came from the end of the barrel of a gun. Peace never come from hateful words. Peace never came from mockery. Peace never came from anything negative towards your brothers and sisters. And even if you believe a different way that I believe, you believe in spiritual enlightenment and charka and karma and all the different things out there, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk the same. You got to practice what you preach, brother and sister, because if you don't, you're a hypocrite. You're in denial. You think you have it all figured out, when in all reality, I don't have it figured out. You don't have it figured out. We see the signs and we point them out. But all roads from every single life lead to the same exact end, death. Without fail, each and every one of us are going to die. Each and every one of us have enough time on this world to do, to make or break somebody else's time, or to do something right, or to whatever. And for whatever spiritual end that we end up at, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, whether we just go back into nothing or whether we move on to the next level, we're here in this life, in this time, in this place together. And until we can bring all nations and all people together at the table to sit down and fix things respectfully, then what you see out there in the world is what you get. The secret societies will continue to be allowed to do what it is that they do. The governments of the world will continue to be corrupt. You'll still hear wars and rumors of wars, plagues and famines and pestilence and doomsday scenarios of all sorts and shapes and sizes. You'll hear it all. You'll be told many stories. You'll be told many truths. You'll be told many lies. You'll feel many pains and sadnesses. You're going to get the best of both worlds. You're going to get both good and evil. And if you don't believe there's good and evil in the world, you just get what you get. Aggravations or whatever. All I know is what I know from what I've seen in my own spiritual journey. Is there a devil? I believe so. Is there evil in the world? It's kind of hard to deny. When you got a man who has the power to utter some words in a military, will fly over somebody's house and drop a bomb that will indiscriminately kill you, whether you're an atheist, a Christian, a Buddhist, or Muslim, or a Hindu, or a New Ager. It's not going to choose the difference between any of you, as special as you may think yourself to be. When that bomb drops, if you're in the general vicinity, whether you're a child, an adult, or the elderly, whether you're the nicest or the meanest person in this world, when that bomb drops, you get to meet death. And if you're unfortunate enough to only be halfway to death, then you're going to have to experience what many veterans had to experience as they walked through life with missing limbs and arms or eyes. That to me is evil. Poisoning people's food is evil. Changing what I believe that God created to further your own financial, political, or whatever agenda. Lying to one another, stealing from one another, robbing, raping, looting, and pillaging. That's evil, in my view, from my own spiritual journey. I'm going to leave you with that thought and then open the floodgates for people to come in and tell me why it is that I'm so wrong. What makes me a terrorist? What makes me worthy of just, hey, those old crazy preacher sounding Shazia's coming on here with some sort of Jesus trash. Why don't we just like, nah, I'm going somewhere else. To you in your mind, you may not agree with what I got to say. But all you got to do is look out into this world and understand there is beauty in this world. There is darkness in this world. There's good and there's evil. And whether it comes from your book or my book, the end of that book looks a bit rough. I play some tunes and get me a fresh load of coffee and then open the floodgates for people to come in and tell me what's what. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I've been joined by Muddy Muddy Mudman in Dublin. And so anyway, basically, folks, it's all the same subject. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. It doesn't matter whether it's alternative energy, alternative medicine, alternative versions of the religious beliefs, and so on and so forth, and some aren't popular subjects, and some are popular subjects. It doesn't matter what we're all talking about. It doesn't matter. All of this stuff is related. All of us are related. It's all interconnected, no matter how you look at it, whether you're a Christian, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu, or anything. It's all related, because we're all fighting the same evil. If we're out here and we're doing what we're doing, trying to get something going on, you're either on one side or you're on the other. You're on the side of good for humanity, or you're on the side of darkness, hate, destruction, and so on and so forth. It's all related. You know, so whatever happens to me happens to you. If our boat sinks and our planet's fried out, then you know what? You're breathing the same air that I'm breathing. If you believe that the Fukushima disaster is the worst of the worst, then that's something that you're out there trying to get people's information out there, but you're doing it because you're trying to warn humanity. If you believe that Doomsday Planet X, or the pole shift, or the one world government's taking over, or the FEMA camps, or whatever, you know, like I said, in Revelations in the Bible, it talks about wars and rumors of wars, plagues, famines, pestilence, and so on and so forth. The ending in my book may not be that much different than the ending in your book. It's all the same subject. Until we all realize that we're all up against the same doggone enemy, whether it be mind control or government conspiracies, that we could go on and on and on forever in every single direction, and we could all argue over which is the correct path to our creator, or our lack thereof, or whatever. How the world came into existence or how it didn't come into existence doesn't really seem to matter at this point in time, whenever you look out into the world and you see what it is that we see. You could argue anything you want. It's not going to fix anything. There is no solution from that. You degrading me, or me degrading you, telling you got to believe the way that I believe, or you're going to burn in hell, or you're not, or you are, or whatever. The fact of the matter is, remains, even in my faith, no man knows the time or day. He'll come like a thief in the night. And even if you don't believe in God, some magical sky god, as has been said to me on multiple occasions, the fact of the matter is, death is for all of us. Death is something that none of us can avoid. Someday we will die, unless we figure out some way to become super beings, and there are those in this world who feel like that's exactly what they're going to do. You know, the merging between man and technology to make us live forever. But even in their case, it's still going to be the portion of the man that will die. So death comes to all of us, and it will come like a thief in the night. Death will not call you up on the phone and say, "Hey, brother, I'm on my way over. Get ready to die." You know, death is just going to happen. It's going to happen when you're in the bed, whenever you're in the car, whenever you're just standing there, whenever you're on the toilet. In the worst possible time, death is going to show up for you. And you're not going to be able to finish whatever it is that you was getting ready to do, because you say, "Hold on, death. You know, you give me a break, because I gotta go over and tell this person I love them before I go," and so on and so forth. You know, it's just going to come up on you. It's going to happen. And so whatever you've done in your life, that is what's in your bank account. If there is an afterlife, if there is a creator, then that is what you'll have to stand judgment for. If there's not, then none of it made any sense to begin with. It was just the whole chaos theory. But once again, while you're alive, whatever you do to lay down the stepping stones for the future of all humanity is going to make a difference in their life. While you're in life and you do the things that you do, it does make a difference to all those who are living. There's still starving babies on this side of the world. There's still babies being bombed on the other side of the world. There's still robbing, raping, looting, pillaging, scavenging, and you name it going on. Everything that any kind of moral, sensible person would say is the difference between right and wrong. even the atheist wouldn't want to go up and slap the baby because he was black or yellow or white. You know, even the atheist wouldn't want to stand on some little child's fingers while everybody stands around making a mockery and laughing how funny it is because this is a child of a different race or a different faith. Even the hardcore Satanist has to have some sort of moral standard. You know, if you're a hardcore Satanist, you protect your brother Satanist. You know, you want to watch their back, even if it's a dirty deed. You know, either way, the whole thing, everything, all of it, all the conspiracy theories, all the doomsday prophecies, all the things that you hear from corrupt governments around the world and corrupt individuals who have corrupted people's belief systems or religious systems or whatever. I personally don't subscribe to a religion. I'm not religious. I do have my faith in Jesus Christ, and that is my own personal spiritual journey from my own personal experiences in life. That's me. And until it's wrong, until I know in my heart, and my heart tells me that something isn't right, I'm going to continue to be the way that I am. I'm going to continue to treat others as I want to be treated. I'm going to continue to speak my truth the way that I feel. And if you're out there and you're trying to make this world a better place, but yet you're degrading others because you don't agree with what they have to say, then you, my friend, are the worst type of hypocrite. You sit there and say that you want a better world, but yet you don't have the tolerance for anybody who may not be in the same place that you are right now, in the same spiritual belief or political belief. The blue team against the red team, Democrats versus Republicans, the blacks against the whites, the Mexicans against the blacks, or the Mexicans against the whites, the whites against the Indians against whoever, you know. Do you see what I'm saying? There's so much divide and conquer out there, and people want to deny the existence of evil. There's no difference between good, right, or wrong, or evil. It's all created in your head. This is all a hologram. The moon doesn't exist. The sun doesn't exist. The earth is flat. The earth is concave. The earth is hollow. The moon is hollow. The moon is a spaceship. There's a rock heading for us to kill us. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, and pestilence. Do you see? If we're not being mind screwed and there really is some sort of reality to it, we better get a grip on it, because you're hating me and I'm not a hater, but I have my disagreements, you have your disagreements, and if we don't figure out a way to come to the table when this boat sinks, guess what? The Muslim goes down, the Buddhist goes down, the Christian goes down, the Hindu goes down, the New Ager goes down, the spiritual enlightenment, the awake goes down. You're going to go down with me, with the sinner, with the non-sinner, with the atheist, with the Satanist. You're going to go down with the elite, the global nutcases of the world. We're all going to go down together. If there's somebody out there mind screwing us, we need to get a grip on it, because what they're doing out here isn't making our world pleasant. And so if you're talking about making the world a better place, then you better put your beliefs down to the side and keep them strong to your heart and follow your own way and lead by example and be the guiding light that puts the information out there that maybe somebody else looking from the outside might adopt that and become believing the way that you believe. You're not going to change me into a Muslim. You're not going to change me into a Buddhist. You're not going to change me into an atheist. You're not going to change me into a Satanist, because my faith is strong for my own personal spiritual journey. So don't even waste your time. If you want to make this world a better place, then we're going to have to work together whether we believe each other's stories or not. We're going to have to seek out the truth and share the truth with each and every one of us in the best, most respectful way. Otherwise, you know, hey, Katie, bar the door, let the bullets fly, let the bombs fly, everybody build your bunker, run up underneath the ground, grab your kids, get them all inside, and stay in there in fear for the rest of your life, and live your life in the shadow of darkness, afraid to come outside and see the beauty that is the creation that we live in, that belongs to each and every one of us as the caretakers, our brothers' keepers, our sisters' keepers, the guardians of the animals and the children, You can be a hardcore atheist and still have love in your heart. You can be a hardcore Buddhist, Muslim, whatever, and still have love in your heart. You can be a total jerk and still have love in your heart.
Right.
Until you come to the table with an open eyes, open ears, and an open mind, guess what, folks? It's like the little joke at Pete and Repeater in a boat, and Pete falls out, who's going to be left? Try it. You'll go on forever. And nothing gets done. So with that said, I'm going to shut up and let Muddy and Dublin talk.
Well, I remember Hurricane Isabel came through Hampton, Virginia. And I went through a rough 17 and a half years as a taxi cab driver, and I set a lot of things straight and a lot of things right. We left for Tennessee and came back after the hurricane. To get to our house, which was, I'd say about maybe a fifth of a mile from Mercury Boulevard. We had to go around spots of Mercury Boulevard to get to other parts of Mercury Boulevard because of trees and poles and things that were torn down. And we started going up into the neighborhood, and oh my goodness. Yep, there were trees completely across the road that were thicker than the height of our car. And, oh my goodness, there was a lot of cleanup and debris. You had to dodge stuff on the street to get around it to get there. And it took us what normally takes us about a minute and a half to two minutes to get home. It took us about 15 minutes to find our way through the maze to get there. And this is a town where the first year I disarmed 3 knives, 2 guns, lost 3 windshields, a back glass, left front fender, a grill. I think I put about 17 people in the hospital, not too sure. But basically, I know I only had to go to court once, and basically they dropped that. Yeah, it was a rough deal there, and there was a lot of crackheads. We call them rock stars, and then there were there were track stars. Those are the people that got in your cab and ran. So I mean, and every week, if you didn't hear gunshots up and down your street, no matter where I lived in Hampton, if you didn't hear gunshots up and down your somewhere from hearing distance within a week, then it was a lucky week. Kind of rough. I mean, it was still a nice place and all sort, and we had a lot of good friends and stuff. The Warren types kept to themselves, and basically you knew who they were. They a lot of wannabe gangsters. And this hurricane came through. There was no power. There was water in certain parts. The cell phones wasn't working for a day or so. There was no gas stations open because they didn't have power. The Farm Fresh and a lot of the grocery stores and stuff like that sold food cheap and before it went bad. And the dry goods, they tried helping people out with. Down at the beach, there were people cooking out and giving food away. Farm Fresh was supplying, and some of the other grocery stores, just to help feed people. Well, and at night, it was so dark and so quiet.
Were any
the only
of those,
thing I could think of. Do what now?
Were any of those people of different faiths?
Oh, yeah. Different faiths, different skin colors, tones, attitudes. Like I said, the gangsta wannabes are right in there helping just as good as the rest of them. And, you know, it was beautiful. Nighttime went. You could see so many stars, and it was still. There wasn't any wind, so wind turbines wouldn't have done very much good. There wasn't any wind for like 2 or 3 days. I mean, it was just still, peaceful. You could hear the birds. You'd hear sounds in the background. You might hear one car off in the distance or so here and there. So people still had gas and stocked up on stuff. And every now and then you hear somebody come walking by and say, hey, trucks down here with some drinking water and blah, 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 you know. Oh, cool. So we'd take off down that way and stuff, and after a few, got to get, but the thing was, everybody was happy. I'd heard no gunshots. This was for almost 2 weeks. There was, you know, people making jokes, kind of, you know, there was a big old piece of plywood, 4x8 sheet of plywood, painted on, and it was just white, and it said BR549. And another, you know, another one sitting out in front of the neighborhood of Cherry Acres, and it said, we need electricity too, sorry we ain't rich, you know, and, it was a few weeks before everybody got their electricity back, and the water came on pretty quick. I mean, it wasn't much, the wind only took what's above ground, and where the trees had pulled up lines or something like that, that got repaired pretty quick, seeing as they didn't have to dig. So the water got on pretty quick, and I don't think we had any gas lines that I knew of. But, you know, hey, it was a beautiful time. See, when you got a common enemy called everybody's in the same boat, people pull together. You know, we didn't care if there was a preacher. We didn't care if it was, you know, a Harry Carey, or we didn't care who, man. We're all people. I've seen people with rings and hardware sticking out of their body. And nose rings, earrings, eyebrow rings, tongue rings, lip rings, and rings that you couldn't see, and funky hairdos.
Well, you know, there's an old saying.
And they were acting sweet, you know, like when you're a kid and you saw this gal that just treated you sweet, and her hair was just beautiful, and, you know, you could see the beauty in everybody. They pulled together.
It's
a wonderful thing, and this is what I see. I see, now I hate to cut you off and just blah, 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 but I know you could use a break anyway, so bear with me. Bear with me. You go and you look around the world. I don't know somebody across the world. I don't know their kids. I know their kids don't know my kids. Their kids don't hate my kids. My kids don't hate their kids. I don't hate them. I don't know them. But I know worldwide, we're fighting a common enemy. And yes, I am prejudiced. I am very racial or racist. Yes, I believe in the human race. The idiots that are sitting there fighting against us are not the human race. So yes, I am very prejudiced. And that's my only prejudice. I don't like the lizard heads. I don't like the ones that don't belong here, holding us down and thinking that we're slaves and going to sit there and, oh, there's too many, let's thin out the herd. Yep. The people farm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they plan on eating us or whatever. But you know what? People need to pull together and they need to forget all this stupid crap where the presidents or the ambassadors or the kings and queens or whatever you want to call them. The czar, I don't care what you want to call them. The leaders of all these countries need to stop saying, go get them, boys, and fight their own stupid battles. And I've said this before. Put them all in the middle of a football stadium. We'll sit up there and eat popcorn and beer and Cokes or whatever, you know. And, or lamb if you're kosher and don't want the hot dog. So, yeah, I mean, we'll sit up there and we'll watch them battle it out. And whoever wins, wins. But they don't win us. I believe in three little theories. You can have your side. Another guy can have his side. And people can rally up behind them. But I'm still not going to join either side because I don't believe in everything that each of them say. So I can't join their side. If I don't believe in everything that you believe in, I'm not on your side. I'm on my side. And my side should be the side, basically, that you should take being your own side as spread the love, help as many as you can, help each other, show the love. The love will cure pretty much everything out here. It's not going to cure the bullets and the masked soldiers and everything trying to take over. But you know what? It'll slow it down and stop it. It will. Because basically they're looking to say, man, these people ain't even... They're all love. They're all love. I'm tired of killing innocent people. I'm tired of killing good people. D.A. You know, but we can't all be that. You know, and you can only sacrifice your life once, not a million times, to sit there and get the message through for each one of them. So, but the main deal is we've got to fight to help each other. One thing that makes any of it legal is a general state of emergency. Immediate protection of life and or property. That allows you to do what you must. And hopefully what you must isn't kind of shady or anything or a bad thing. I believe that love is the cure. I believe that God is love and God is the cure. Well, they might see God as a different entity. They might see God in a different light. They may not like my God, but that's okay. It's the same thing. We are the human race. It's okay to be prejudiced against the lizards. And these all these people, you know, the ancient Sumerians, the first written language and everything, they were the offspring of what they call the Anunnaki. And basically lizard heads. And all of those have been in power all the way through time in this great grand illusion that's been around us of that we're free, we're free, we're free. And I see, look around the United States and I see, my goodness, what are these guys going to do if we have to bug out? Oh, I got to take my iPad, I got to take my phone, oh, I got to take this. Anything that will allow you to be tracked. Don't you know every bit of that electronic caca is set to find you, to hear every word you say. You can take the battery out of the phone and they can still hear what you're saying. Turn it off, they still hear you. They take the battery out, they can still hear you. You must try to turn it on and let it try to run for 3 seconds before it finishes draining the capacitors because it's a low wattage deal with very sensitive antennas and they triangulate. So yeah, oh yeah. I seen a movie where they took refugees and they said no radios, no electronics, no nothing. And one person was listening to a radio really low on their shoulder. Just a radio. They tracked them by an AM radio and found them and liked to blow them all up. And then they found the person with the radio and they chewed them out and smashed the radio. After that, it was basically trying to get away from them and hiding. So, look. It's the same thing. When you see the abomination of desolation sitting where he does not belong, run for the mountains. Do not go home. Let no man go home for anything, not even his coat. That means don't take this crap with you. You'll be provided for. You'll find out there, there's lots of things you can eat. You need to prepare, though. You need to learn. Go to eattheweeds.com. And you're going to find out there's... You can't walk but a quarter mile and get full. You can't even walk across the field if you take it slow and not get full. With more nutrient food than what you buy at the store. There's so much out here. And so many things that you can do. I guess with that, I guess I'll shut up. I don't believe in the separation of people.
Well, I was going to
leave the joining together. You can do more. If I had one cab out there and they called me from one end of town to the other to go pick them up and take them three blocks, and then the next one calls me from all the way at the other end of town, it's going to take forever and I don't make no money. But I get two cabs out there, I can have one at both ends. And they don't have to go as far. Both cabs are more profitable and get more runs because they're closer to the runs. Then when you get three cabs out there, you're going to get 8 to 10 times the work per cab.
I was going to add to your story there that you can't. There's an old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. So even some of the folks with all the the metal and whatever in there, the biker, whatever, the guys that most people look on, the person that's all tattooed up inside, you know, that that shell of whatever they wish to portray is a human being. And when worse comes to worse, that's the best time where everybody seems to want to come together. But in times of profiting and good times, that people don't want to seem to stay together. They want to argue and live in their own bubble and build their own stairways to whichever heaven it is that they want to be at or whatever. But
you know what I see as beauty, Shaziz? I've seen some really ugly people, and they just catch my eye, and I look at them because they glow inside. Well, I don't care who you are. I'm going to love you, man. I have to love the people. I just don't like the things that they do.
It's the inner or
that which controls them inside, the possessor. I do not like it. I don't like seeing the persecution. I don't care how ugly they are. If you smile, you're beautiful. That's what I like. I look at a baby, man, that's, you know, he may be even deformed, and he just looks up at you. He may be retarded, looks up at you, and all you see is love. And I can't take my eyes off. I admire him.
It's the inner beauty, man. It's the inner beauty, the inner love that shines the best light. You know, you could be the most beautiful person, but the most hateful soul on the planet.
How many beautiful women have you seen that were just plain ugly inside, and you just didn't want to be around them? You're glad you weren't married to them. And you look at them, and you see what that ugliness has done to them. It makes that beauty ugly. The skin beauty. The negative just shines, just kind of sucks all the light out of it. And you just look at it and you say, my gosh, what a shame.
Well, the whole moral of the story is, if we're ever going to make this world a better place, you know, if there is no God, I mean, if it was all a scam or a fairy tale, and there is no God, then that ought to be more of the reason why we should be coming together. That ought to be more of the reason why we should be taking care of one another, because that means our time is short. And if we want a better world to live in, then it's going to be up to us to do it. You know, nobody knows what time they're going to die. You know? And if you don't know what time you're going to die, that means that you should be living every minute as if it was going to be your last minute, and trying to do something beneficial for yourself or your family or the world. You know,
or you can live every minute like there's going to be many more, and you need to be planning now so you can go for the future and keep on working. And if you don't make it, somebody can take up where you left off.
Well, if you don't mind living in a road warrior style society, then everything's all right. You could just do what you want. There's no consequences. Go out and kill and whatever, you know. And if the guys who believe themselves to be good guys will throw you up in jail, and you'll be locked up for several years of your life, or maybe even for the rest of your life, and that's the kind of style you want to live in, then, you know, go for it. That's the world that we got already, you know.
You live in the physical, and you got to take care of what's here in the physical, right? But your main thing that you really ought to take care of is what's not physical. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know that. That's a fact. Well, it's the things unseen that control. You look at, the human spirit is beautiful. The human soul is beautiful. What you see that is ugly in people is that which is not human.
Well, and, you know, regardless of whatever everybody thinks, we're all fighting the same enemy, you know. They're making laws, they're making rules, they're making regulations, they're doing everything that they can to either destroy the planet, destroy each other, you know. And so with that said, you know, what more can you say? You know, I'm sick of the whole mess. I'm sick of the whole doomsday / everything, this and that and everything. I want solutions for this world. I want to clean this house up. You know, I want to do whatever it takes to make this world a better place to live in for not just myself, but for everybody else as well. And it's going to be almost next to impossible to do that until you get cooperation from one another. I mean, do you want to spend the rest of your life sitting around talking about the New World Order or the doomsday scenarios or who's right, who's wrong, and never getting any kind of results towards anything better than what we've seen so far? I mean,
you got to start with yourself, no matter who you are.
Yeah, well, you got to point out
90% of the people out here can look back 2 years ago and know that they were much happier. Because all this stuff builds and builds and collects on you. And you've got to shed it. You've got to shed it and get, you know, yeah, you're right. We got a clean house. We got to start cleaning house right inside where our heart starts.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. There's so many people out here. It's all vanity.
Well,
how many things you got? This, how beautiful you are. You got jeans that not only it used to be the ladies would wear culottes because they needed to move like they did with shorts and wanted to play, you know. And basically, you can't do that in a skirt, so they wore culottes that looked like that. And it got tighter and tighter, and they turned to jeans and. And basically now the genes not only sit there and move with you, but they basically shape you. And, you know, come on, man. It's all vanity. They're trying to turn the world into a meat market. And, you know, it's... oh, my goodness. Things change, and what seems right to you, you know... To he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But the main thing is, if you know that you shouldn't do something, then you shouldn't do it. But basically, if you're growing up in something where...
Wait a second.
What seems to be right to you because it's the norm is right. I mean, it's not wrong to you because you just don't see it that way. And I don't know, if you just don't know it's wrong, then it's really not. But once you know it is, then yeah, it is. You're not supposed to be out here tempting people like that. And but you know, I mean, hey, you see, you look at games and stuff, and it's all shoot 'em up, bang up, and all that kind of stuff. Oh my goodness! If we wore a low sweater. You know, we wore a low sweater and everything. Back in the old days, the women would gasp and the men would go, oh my goodness, turn around. Because, that, you know, back then that was wrong. But the times are changing so fast, and these changes that I've seen through my life change so much.
But they're going downhill.
Right. But you look at your life, you find yourself looking at yourself, and maybe you're not happy because you'd rather be like you were a long time ago. And that's what I'm talking about, cleaning house. You clean house, but you're looking at a world around you that's going the opposite direction while you're trying to go, you know, that's going one direction while you're trying to go the opposite direction. But there's so much of it going in that same direction. I still love them all, want to help them all. I'm not going to preach at them. I'm not going to tell them what they should do with all this. The only thing I want to see is happy hearts and happy souls and helping each other. It's starting to get to be the norm, being the negative.
Well, that's my point exactly, man. Look,
I want to see the world. I want everyone out here to find somebody that doesn't have a smile and give them a smile. Give them a hug. Look for something that you can do for somebody and do it for them. Don't ask for nothing. Just do it.
Justin wants in.
You're gonna prosper so much just by doing it. I've done it many times. I've mowed lawns when people I've snuck over and mowed their lawn when they wasn't looking just for the giggles of it. See if I can get it done before they get back, and then if I can be off somewhere and watch them look at it. Oh, what happened?
Yeah. Well, like I said, negativity breeds negativity, positivity breeds positivity, you know, and we don't always have to agree. We can agree to disagree, but, you know, my frustration comes from the fact is we got everything we need to fix this mess, but yet we're still sitting around with our little disputes and talking about things, and I want this world to get fixed. All right? Now, in my book right there, you're not supposed to love the world. You're not supposed to worship the creation. You're supposed to worship the creator. But also in my book, it also says you're supposed to love one another. And surely we can all agree that loving one another is better than going out shooting one another. And so with all the craziness that we've all experienced in our life, we got story after story after story after story that we could tell of everything that we've seen. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever even have to see. But I've seen them. And those are the things that pointed me in the direction of saying that I think that we need to do something about this. This is why I spend my time, you know. I would like to think that it's not a waste of time to get on here and talk to the world with this platform and all these networks. I would like to think that we should be able to accomplish things. It would be nice to not have to defend my faith every time I turn around because either the government's trying to tell me I'm a terrorist because I'm a Christian or that I'm an ex-military that makes me a possible terrorist. You know, while in the same sense, those folks that are calling all of us terrorists, they're the ones out there terrorizing everybody. You know, they call you a nutcase. They lie on the media. They lie to each other and essentially basically show you a world that is so terrible outside and then tell you not to fear about it, you know. They sit there and convince you that the world is a terrible place. They propagandize, they go out and they start wars, they kill other people with your gun, because essentially they say, well, here, give us your gun and we'll go out and defend you. You know, why don't you just hold on to your own gun? And when I say your own gun, means your own sword of truth and use that for your own self-defense. You're going to trust somebody else. You're going to trust somebody else to go out there and defend you when you should be defending yourself. You should be defending your faith. You should be defending one another instead of trying to trust somebody who's already had a proven track record of lying to you. You know, we've had World War I, we've had World War II, we've had the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Iraq, Afghanistan, Bosnia, all these different places out there, wars and skirmishes that are continuously going on. People are continuously dying.
And the wars on the streets.
And we still prop up the pyramid. We're still the base of what holds that capstone at the top. We're still the ones who keep allowing these knuckleheads out there to perpetuate everything, and they profit. They profit when you're sick. They profit when you die. They profit. At one time, back in the old days, you could dollar or $5, you could give the undertaker some money and they'd bury you. You'd have a funeral. Nowadays, it costs you anywhere from $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 or more just to die. Somebody's making money off of you. From the time that you're born, that old bumper sticker, slave from birth to grave. And we're all fighting that same enemy, all of us. It doesn't matter what your beliefs are in the background. It doesn't matter who you call God. What matters is, whatever, the story is still the same. We're still losing our lives and we're still losing our freedoms. We're still losing everything. And either it's a mask that's been pulled over our face to keep us living in fear so that we'll buy their product, or it's reality. Either way, it needs to be shed light on. It needs to have the truth shown to people out there so that they can make their own conscious decision if they even got a brain left to choose. You understand what I'm saying? this is what all this is about. All this truth that we're talking about on here, the alternative energy, the alternative medicine, the alternative media, the alternative wall, there wouldn't be no need for an alternative if the system that we call the beast would be the right system. If it wasn't broken, we wouldn't be out here trying to fix it. You know, I fix it because I choose to try to guide people using my faith and my belief towards the light, you know. The light of God that comes from my spiritual journey. I don't have to force it down nobody's throat. All I have to do is lead by example. If they see that it works and they go and adopt it themselves, that's the best teaching I can do. And if I'm wrong, at least I was nice to them in the process. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we got Barry in here. We got Dublin in here. We got, looks like Justin's in here. You know, do you have anything to add to this madness that we're trying to basically speak out common sense to this world? Do you have anything to say that, look, you know, even though we may look a little different, we may not have the exact same backgrounds, but we do have the exact same cause? Well, I mean, we're trying to save ourselves. We're trying to save the planet. We're trying to save humanity. We're trying to do something as opposed to nothing.
Yeah, no, guys, you're on the right track. It's just time. It takes time. First, you have to identify what the source of the problem is. And then after that, it's the uphill journey to solving it. But I think we're getting there. We've identified that the rest of the human race is not the enemy. And that it's just some elements who run the top of the show who are the problem.
Well, Devin, you've been doing some research on a treaty that nobody wants anybody to see until it's signed. You want to tell everybody about it?
Well, if you check into it, it's called the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. And it's the worst nightmare America can imagine. They're going to try and ram it through. They're probably going to get Obama to create to sign it without Congress. And basically, you won't be a country anymore. You'll be like the USA will be reduced to like a county within a big corporation. Their laws of the TPP will exceed America's Constitution. There'll be no Bill of Rights. There'll be no USA Constitution. And there certainly won't be any Second Amendment, so they can come and confiscate all your guns. Now, Congress will either be told, sign the TPP and find out what's in it after you've signed it, or they'll just get Obama to sign it under executive whatever. And so the crisis looks like that they're going to create is the all the docks on the west side of America are owned by China, and they're deliberately getting them to all create a big strike, and all the goods that come into America, most of them come in via the west coast, won't be able to get in, and then all the ships will stack up out to sea. And then after a few months, when there's nothing on the shelves, a lot of people will beg Obama to do anything to get them out of this trouble. And so he'll say, well, I just have to sign the TPP and all these problems can be solved. And that looks like how they're going to try and take down America. I don't know. I mean, that's what some American journalists said.
You know, the whole thing is that, you know, all of this has been prophesied, you know, whether it be prophesied via that book or prophesied via the alternative media out there who's been trying to warn people all these years what was going on, and yet so many distractions going on. This should be the time that everybody should unite more than ever. When we lose this platform, which is the internet or Shaziz Radio or Wake Radio or all the different networks that we're affiliated with, when we lose all this communication with each other, it's Katie bar the door. They get what they want, and you just shut up. You know your place, shut your face, that kind of thing.
We don't lose the technology.
Yeah, but we might be lucky. We might find that literally everybody just says sod you, and we're not going along with it, and you know it all falls apart. And so I'm not a great believer in prophecies. I think are more a kind of suggestion as to what might happen, you know, rather than will happen.
Well, either way, we're all fighting a common enemy, aren't we?
Oh yeah. Well, this is it. They're trying to marshal us in this certain direction where these new rules come in, these new regulations, and you can't have this, and you can't have that, you can't say this, you can't say that. I think in Sweden now they're not even allowed to use certain words which are racist. It's gone nuts over here in Europe.
It's gone.
I mean,
nice
they have another agreement. Yeah, I mean, they have another agreement. There's another agreement they want to bring in, the TTIF, which will be basically between Europe and America, and be basically the same thing, another variation of the TPP. And it's nuts. But enough people do what the Greeks do and the Icelandics do and tell them to go shove it. When the sun don't shine, you never know, the whole thing might just come apart at the seams and everybody just goes back to I mean, there's a couple of things.
Well, what you just said there, Dublin, makes me feel like I'm at Custer's last stand, you know. I feel like this is it. You know, we either stand up now or we just let them do what they're going to do. That's basically what I've been trying to say. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, 90% of it is information. It's an information war, and we get the word out, this is what they're doing and why they're doing it. And there is a hidden agenda, and don't mind the smokescreen. It ain't a doctor's strike. You know, a normal doctor strike in California. It's deliberately planned between the federal USA government and the Chinese to pull the whole thing off and to devalue the dollar by 50% overnight. And then, you know, they're going to try and take down the euro next with the Greek crisis. And, you know, it's stage collapse. You know, they're trying to collapse Europe, they're trying to collapse America and turn everybody into third world countries. And therefore they can say that, yeah, we can control everybody because nobody, you know, nobody has anything. So if everybody's informed, it's harder for them to do it. So it's passing the information on is half the battle.
Well,
so you're doing your bit and I'm doing my bit, and other people out there in alternative media, they're doing their bit, and if enough people do their bit, I think we can turn it around. It's not a forgiven that. And the big trick, I think, to understand is, I've done a lot of years researching into alternative energy, you know, what we've called over unity, that type of thing, and I'm although I haven't seen it, I'm now reached a point where I have enough evidence that it does exist, that the universities have gone to a lot of time and trouble to hide it from us, that the governments are using it, and that they're, when we, enough of us figure it out how it works and pass the word on and don't use patents and just give it out there, we're going to destroy their power base, which is oil.
Well, there's this nice lady over there at these Changing Times radio that I listen to on there all the time, that she, I think, I remember one time saying something like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, you know, and that's essentially what's going on. Hey, look over here, don't look over there, you know, we got to pass this so we can see what's in it kind of thing, you know, it just, folks. You know, Thomas Jefferson said it best when he said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. Pay attention or lose it. It's as simple as that, you know?
America, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, America has everything. America has everything that it needs. It doesn't need the rest of the world. And so their job is to engineer it that America becomes dependent on all these Japanese and Chinese goods that come from somewhere else.
Right now, Dublin, we do need the rest of the world. We all need each other.
Well, we all need each other in that we need to support each other. But they're deliberately engineering it that all the work, all the cars are manufactured outside of America, so that America becomes a service economy. So when they switch off the service economy and they switch off the imports, America has nothing. So the big trick is to turn that engine round and bring back in manufacturing into America, and with that, then America is not dependent on the outside world, and they can reverse the whole process. And then it's like everything, if America succeeds in doing that, and a few other countries succeed in doing that, they'll spread, and nobody will be dependent on the New World Order and their, you know, so-called free markets.
Yeah,
the free market idea is the worst idea that was ever invented. You know, it means free slavery.
I think Barry had something to add in there.
Yeah.
Barry,
you I mean, you should. I've been sitting back looking for what Dublin's saying and everybody else is saying here this morning. But what I see right now, guys, is we don't have a lot of time to send this around. What we're seeing right now around this world is incredible acceleration of events. We're absolutely at a state of total disarray right now as far as the society goes. We really don't know what to pay attention to anymore because there's so many distractions being thrown at us. You know, as a society, we're greatly divided. And like I said before, I think the biggest challenge we have right now is to put these divisions aside. Because if we do not stand up to what is going on right now, I don't believe we'll have another generation to deal with it.
I feel
an urgency right now, buddy. I know that urgency is felt by many, many people that are involved in the alternative media because we see what's going on inside the government. We see them pushing us to a certain direction. What we talked about here a few minutes ago, the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, Dublin, we hit it right on the nail. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to America and Canada. It basically takes our powers away, all our powers and sovereignty over our own land, and gives it away to corporations under the guise of free trade. And what the Canadian government, you know, they're just as bad, they're just as much in bed with Obama as anybody else, because Mr. Harper is trying to fast-track this through the Canadian government, too. And a lot of people are waking up, and a lot of people are going to stand up, and I think we're going to put a stop to it. But just the fact that the government wants to fast-track these bills through Congress and at the stroke of midnight with Mr. Obama's executive order, if this agreement gets through, America is basically finished, guys. It's simple as cut and dry that America will have no control over anything anymore.
So with that said, do you think that now would be the very last time that we should be arguing amongst each other who's right or who's wrong on whatever spiritual or political journey we're on, that if we know that this is happening in all different directions, which you've heard all the radio shows, you've heard all the YouTube videos, you've heard all the governments, the newscasts and all that, and anybody with any common sense could step back and look at the big picture and see that we, as humans, have a problem. This should be the very last moment, in my view, that we should even remotely be arguing with one another. We should be trying to figure out some way to fix this mess. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, yeah, this is the time that we have to find a way to unify ourselves, you know. We have lots of divisions. Like I said, these divisions that we see now, these were planned and put into a society over many, many, many years. And they've been designed to bring us to this particular point in human history. And you got to really kind of look at this whole big picture over the last 30, 40, 50 years, exactly what's happened in our world. And I keep coming back to this one point of divisions in our society. If you divide a society, you can conquer it. By doing what they've done in America and Canada and the rest of the world in the last 30, 40 years, I mean, we could get into it, we could talk about it for hours, but these divisions were put there for a reason, and now they are manifesting themselves in our society, making it almost impossible for us to come together as a group of people and say, hey, this is absolutely ludicrous and it's got to come to a stop. But that's where we're at right now, guys, so that's the challenge I think we face.
Yeah, and so wherever wherever you want to be spiritually, then that's going to have to be something personal on each and every one of you out there. You're going to have to let your light shine and lead your life by example and understand that anytime you knock somebody else down, you knock yourself down as well, because that person on the opposite side, even though they may be a different color or a different faith or whatever, that person is your best friend right now. It's obvious that the elite of this world don't care about you. The United Nations out there. How many of you are on that board of the UN? How many of you are able to go there and speak out for what's going on? And then if you do get lucky enough to get through that door, how much of your words will be heard and how much of it will be taken to heart by all the different nations of the world? You know, these guys think that they know what's good for all of us. So what they're doing out there, they're still signing treaties. They're still doing everything counterproductive to what you want. They don't even, your representatives aren't even reading the bill. We got to pass it before we can find out what's in it. Do you realize how dangerous that is? You know, if you don't pay attention to what's going on out there, if you leave your faith in a government group or a United World group such as the United Nations, if you leave your faith in their hands, you essentially hand them the gun that could very well kill you or your brother or sister around the world. You sit there and told them that it's all right for you to protect me. I trust your judgment. Well, look at the track record and then make your decision. Because right now, these guys that are sitting right here, we got Justin, we got Barry, we got Dublin, we got Muddy, and we got myself. We're standing there. We are like a few of the sheep standing outside this cave, and the big bad wolves are standing there saying, hey, let's go inside and have dinner. And we're saying, wait a second, that sounds good having dinner and all, but who's on the menu? Okay, what's on the menu? You see what I'm trying to say here, brothers?
the biggest problem in this planet right now is people still don't want to accept the fact that their government is so corrupt and so evil and so benign that it begs their imagination. People cannot wrap their minds around that. Most people still, believe it or not, in our society, think that doctors have their best interest in mind.
Yeah, if it's on the TV, it must be true.
Yeah. You know, according to TV and according to what mainstream tells you, everything going on in the medical profession, everything going on inside the vaccination program, it's all fake, it's all good. Don't worry about it. And people are still going along with this idea that their doctors and pharmaceutical companies have their best interest in mind. It's really hard for you to break out of that mystique. It really is. As a mainstream person living in society, you're doing your job, your kids are going to school, you're trying to maintain a home, blah, blah, blah. Now all of a sudden somebody comes along and says everything that you understand in life is wrong, and you've been completely and totally duped. It's really hard for people to understand and grab that. But when they do, they go through the same thing that everybody here sitting in the panel goes through. We go through anger, we go through unbelievable revelations in our lives, and it turns to anger, and that turns to knowledge, and that alleviates all our fear.
Well, we're telling
you, buddy, it's so hard for people to really understand that everything that's out there is working against them and not for them. And that is the bottom line, folks. It's working against you. Nothing going on in the society is productive.
We're told that the Muslims are jihadists and the Christians are crusaders and there's a terrorist behind every bush. We're told that there's a gunfire going off in every street corner. There's doggone floods and plagues and famines and pestilence. And I got to say this, honestly, as a Christian individual standing back watching all this stuff, it seems to parallel what was written in the book of Revelations and even Matthew and Daniel for that matter. It seems to parallel, for me at least, that I'm seeing these signs. Wars, rumors, wars, plagues, famines, and pestilence. All right, now, if the mainstream media and all the other people, alternative media, are telling me that there's such chaos going on in the world, and I'm looking at my book, and it seems like what they're saying is coming to pass in that book, shouldn't that be a warning flag for anybody, even the non-believer, that if all this stuff is going on in the world, we need to put our brakes on and say, hold on, back up a second, you know, put down your gun for a minute. Let's figure out what's happening here. Why is everybody shooting each other? No, can't we all just get along kind of thing? Shooting everybody from every background. Be standing up right here, right now, and watching each other's back and trying to sort out what the heck is going on before it all gets completely out of control, if it isn't already. You see what I'm saying?
The problem is that even the non-believers, almost everybody has one thing in common. They all have a dream of the lottery, making millions. So it's hard to get people away from that dream until they crash.
Well, I don't want millions. What I want is millions of lives being saved. What I want is millions of people coming to the table and starting to clean house in their own neighborhood, you know, lead, if they believe in anything, if they believe in any God or any lack thereof, if they lead their life by example, heck, you know, I might even follow if I see that that's the right path to go. You understand what I'm saying? But until I change my views of what I see going on in this world, you're not going to convince me one way or another unless you're practicing what you're preaching, unless you're exercising what you're teaching to the world out there for yourself and leading and being that light of example. You've got nothing to share with me. You see what I mean? I'm not trying to be rude or hateful to anybody. All I'm trying to say is common sense says that peace never came from the end of the barrel of a gun. Just like the mouth that you got on your face, your words are like a sword that can cut people in half, that can cut dreams apart. And until you realize the true power and potential of the words coming out of your mouth, you know, are you adding to the problem? Or are you trying to solve the problem? Therein lies the difference. Am I wrong?
Nope. Absolutely.
I mean, the money out there is a bad thing because everybody fights and kills each other over it. We can all agree on that. The secret societies, because by nature they're secret, they hide stuff. And so when somebody's hiding stuff, you have suspicions. By nature, we can all agree that that's not a good thing. And anybody would agree that a starving baby in the world is not a good thing. And bombs being dropped on communities that are indiscriminate will kill anybody, no matter what faith, color, background, or whatever, is not a good thing. We all understand that our environment being polluted, such as Fukushima or the BP oil spill or all the fracking going on throughout the world, you know, all the different things that's happening, we all agree that these things are not a good thing. Okay, now that we've all come to agreement that this world is screwed up, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit around idly by and allow these people to pass bills that they're not even freaking reading, for Pete's sake? Are we going to continuously put our faith in a UN governmental system from all nations that to this date haven't even done anything worthy, and then every time they do get involved seem to somehow or another make the problem worse? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
The one you can trust the most, if you have no faith, is yourself. And the one who's going to take care of you during doomsday isn't the government, isn't the United Nations. It's going to be yourself. And until you get educated and knowledgeable enough to know how to forage for food or make medicines or bandage up your children, how would you like to be in a worst case scenario and watch your child bleed to death just because you don't know how to give them first aid? If there is a doomsday scenario, are you ready for it? If there is not a doomsday scenario, we have to ask the question is, since Y2K and way on back, why are people telling us what they're telling us? We need to question what it is their motive behind, why they're trying to keep us all in fear, why they're trying to keep us all divided. We have to ask those questions before we fall flat on our face wholeheartedly and worship the beast that's eating, literally eating us alive. Does anybody see what I'm trying to say here?
Unfortunately, you know, she says, what's good for things in society? We can talk to people. I know this sounds kind of corny, but we can talk to people so we're blue in the face. But a lot of society, we're shit that you have to take time as a responsible person and have a look at what we're talking about. And a lot of people just refuse to see it. They know that something's wrong. They know there's corruption. They hear about this. They hear about that. They hear about people saying that 9/11 was an inside job. Yet a good percentage of the population still refuses to identify it because they still have their homes. They still think everything's all right. They still think the government's in their corner.
That's
until
why...
we get them out of that, until we can get them out of that nutshell, we're not going to get the mass awakening that...
What you're saying right there is the epitome of the reason why we, as individuals, regardless of our background, should be guiding light, should be leading our life by example. I don't go to church one day a week and then act like a jerk the rest of the week and then and not call myself a hypocrite. I want to be truthful that if I'm not walking the walk or talking the talk, so to speak, as I've heard my friend Patty say a few times, that I'm not leading by example. And we do have power, even though we may not be the majority of the 7 billion people on this planet. We do have power in that if our actions are truthful and our actions are full of justice, and we keep on being consistent and repeating in a respectful manner the information that needs to be heard out there, that even if we have that knowledge, at least in our community, there's one individual that can be a teacher, that can show people how to eat, that can show them how to take care of themselves. You know, just you by yourself, you have enough knowledge in your head that if all heck broke loose, at least there's somebody in that community with some sort of common sense that could try to keep the peace, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, in the midst of bedlam, sure is, because that's what could happen in a society in a matter of 48 to 72 hours, at any point right now, at any point. People have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
Our whole system, our whole society, in literally 24 to 48 to 72 hours, could be turned from what we see right now as normal everyday activity around this planet to total, complete tyranny, upside down, no money in the bank. That could happen. They control the money, folks. That's, we have to realize that the biggest weapon they're going to use against society when push comes to shove, because they know there is a mass awakening happening on this planet right now, then when push comes to shove, they will collapse the dollar. We see it happening right now on the west coast of the United States of America, the move being made by China and the U.S. government. This is in a free fall, and when it does happen, it's going to create a situation on this planet that people will not know how to deal with. Sure, this is, most people aren't prepared.
Yeah.
80% of the population are not prepared. 90%, I don't know exactly what the figures are, but I know there's a great percentage more that aren't prepared than are, and those are the ones that are going to fall right into the trap the government's been set up with.
I agree. But I'd like to add that, some sense of fear is a good thing because it keeps you on your toes. But you don't want to go into all this knowledge and all the information and all that's going around you with, you don't want to go in there with fear. You want to go in there with wisdom and ears and eyes and mind wide open. Because what's going on in this world, you can make a difference, even as bad as it seems. After it all collapses, they're going to look for people just like all of us to, hey, how do I do this? Because I didn't pay attention in school. I need some help. Can you help me out? You see what I'm saying? Out of the ashes of the apocalypse is going to come some ideas that people are going to say, look, you see what just happened? We just went through World War III, and it is a miracle any of us are still alive. Old Justin's over there glowing in the dark, and Muddy's not looking too fair, but we still are alive, and we need to figure out a way to make sure that this never happens again. You see what I'm saying?
Just let me know when I can come out of my cave.
Brother, hey, if the coast is clear, I'll come over and knock on your door with the secret dock and stand back away from the peephole so I don't get blasted. But as I say, it's just me. It's all good. Come on out.
We'll make room in the bunker for it.
But for some reason...
No, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to matter. If World War III happens to this and they start launching nukes around this planet, I don't think it's going
to
matter.
Well, I tend to agree with you, brother, but I'm still gonna hold
up. I'm optimistic.
Really, as I'm falling from, like the optimist, as I'm falling from the top floor of a skyscraper and halfway down, I'm heard to exclaim, "So far, so good," and you know. Until I hit bottom. Yeah.
We'll be optimistic and say that life will survive, but realistically, I don't know.
Well, I wonder. The signs are pointing to a bad.
We have to deal with nuclear power. We really do. We got to somehow, as a human race, totally eliminate it off the planet in weapons, the power plant, the whole nine yards.
Well, the doggone thing is we've already got the technology to do it, man. But it's going to be up to the average Joe to do it. We have the technology to solve the so-called energy crisis. There is no energy crisis. We have all the brilliant minds, all the brilliant mathematicians, all the brilliant machinists and everything. It's just a matter of, are we the people going to get these guys in the same doggone shop and have them build it to put up or shut up and save society? Or are we going to continue to ask the government for permission? Please, sir, may I have some more? You know, does that ring a bell? You're asking your slave master, please give me some more food, you know? The little bit of slop that you already gave me wasn't very good. It didn't fill me up. Can I please, sir, have some more? We gotta get past that. We gotta start taking control of our own lives. We gotta start taking control of our own destiny. And we got to do what it is that we got to do to make this world a better place. These guys aren't doing it. They're not doing it. They're still killing people. They're still getting rich off of your pain. It's sickening.
Well, sure. 53 million Americans now on food stamps. That's an unheard of number. Why? Because the industrial base of the United States of America has slowly but surely been shipped overseas.
Yeah.
All done designed. It's all been designed to bring America to where it is today, guys. And like I said, you can't bring a nation down with the United States of America in 5 or 10 years. You have to do it incrementally over a long period of time. And that's exactly what's happened to America. And that's where we find ourselves where we are today. 53 million Americans. Well, that's 53 million Americans that you control because they're depending on you for their next meal. What a control mechanism to have over 53 million Americans.
Well, there are 320 million people just in the United States alone, and probably 330 million now this is border crisis so-called been going on. But either way, the 320 to 330 million people that are in the same boat, instead of bailing the water out, we're gradually sinking and the water's getting up to our neck. I have to tell you, if you're in the United States of America, once this ship sinks, there is no getting the ship back up. You can't bail out the entire ocean to get the ship to rise back to the top. Unless you all are some really super strong swimmers, when this ship sinks with 320 to 330 million people on it, you're staying down. You're down for the count. Once your rights are gone, getting them back means you're going to have to go through another revolution, another civil war, another whatever, in order to try to fight for something that you could have averted at this point in time. Now is the time that if you can sing like an angel, you stand up and you do just that. Now is the time, if you're a chef and can cook the best meal on the planet, that you get up and do it. Now is the time, if you're the carpenter, the mechanic, that you see something broken and you can fix it, you get up and do it. You do it in your own local towns, you do it in your own local states, you do it in your own local countries, you do it. Because if you don't do it now, when the house falls down around you, there's no putting it back together. When the store shelves are empty, you're on your own, brother. I hope you can cook whatever you can forage. I hope you knew how to garden. I hope you had the medical supplies or whatever you needed just in case for just such an emergency. Because that guy you call your representative or your congressman or your senator or your parliament guy or whatever they call them overseas, the ones that are out there, they're not going to come to your house and hand you a loaf of bread. They're not going to come out there into the dangerous world and fight their way to you just to make sure that you got a Band-Aid on you. They're not going to do it. They're not going to lift you up spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, or emotionally. They're not going to do it. They're going to be covering their own backs. They're going to be in their own yachts or their own bunkers. And you, yourself, the individual, are going to be left to the devices of the world when people decide that things are so crazy. It's kind of like 4th of July. Shoot them if you got them, brother. When World War III happens and the nukes go off, everyone who has a firecracker is going to say, hey, if I'm going down, I'm going down with a blaze of glory. And the same thing's going to happen during the Road Warrior-style apocalypse if we allow it to get that far. My hopes and Barry's hopes and Justin's hopes and Dublin's hopes and Muddy's hopes and all the people that have of all these different networks from Wake Radio to Tinosaur Radio to TCT and 1800 Online, all of us, we want to try to avert it before it ever even happens. We see the flood coming. We're building the dams. We're building the alliances together, and we're trying to get common sense to rule the day as opposed to greed and corruption. I need a breath.
Take care, Dublin.
Dublin gone?
Yeah, he's leaving.
Thanks a lot, Dublin, for your contribution, brother. You're always a welcome sight here on the Knights of the Round Table. I mean, the man does a lot of research. He knows what he's talking about. And for the rest of us out there, man, I'm telling you, it takes a lot for us to take the time out of our busy day and try to say and do what we're doing, you know? We could just sit back and watch it all crash, but because we have something in our heart, whether you want to call it humanity or love, we continue to repeat what we've been repeating. We continue to talk about what we're talking. We may not always agree, but at least we're moving forward. Am I wrong?
I don't think any of us at this point can keep our mouths closed, because I know I can't. I know there's days I wake up and I wish that I didn't know about any of this, and I find some days that it drains me emotional when I see what's going on. But I know what's coming, and I'm at peace as far as I know with my future and where I'm going and what's going to be coming with me when my life is over. But at this point in history, buddy, we are really, really out of pinnacle in history, and I don't say that lightly, but I've been studying these events for many, many years. I've studied the Bible all my life, and like you said earlier, if you read Revelations and read a newspaper right now, it's hard to discern between the two. What we see unfolding is what's written in the Bible. We're not going to thump on that a lot here right now, but it does guide me in my daily decisions. I know it's coming. I know the world is going to see events here in the next little while that are just going to shake us right through the core, because it is written. These geological events we know are coming, these storms that we see happening on the planet right now, we're seeing weather patterns never before seen in human history. We're seeing anomalies all over the planet that we've never, ever seen before. And they're escalating, and it's coming to a pinnacle, and I know that very, very shortly we're going to see some very interesting events unfolding.
Well,
and you've got to be prepared for it.
Ironically enough, somebody over 2,000 years ago wrote about it.
He did, and he's kind of hitting it on the nail right now, as far as I can see. I mean, everything he wrote 2,000 years ago seems to be bang on numbers right now. So it really kind of, you know, as a logical person, I go, well, you know, he wrote this 2,000 years ago, and it's so accurate, it's uncanny, can't be discerned. Then he probably knows how it's all going to end. And he wrote in his book how it's going to end, and that's what's guiding my life right now, buddy.
Yeah, I agree, brother.
There's nothing we can, you know, really should this. We can try and mend the world, but I really honestly believe that whoever you consider your creator in this universe, if he was strong enough and more powerful, whether it's God or whether you have another idea of creation in this universe, well, I say to you that that creator is so powerful that all the damage that the human race has done to this planet, well, I honestly believe that with one swipe of his hand, he can correct everything that we've done.
Yep.
And maybe that is his plan in the future. Maybe we're going to go through an incredibly bad time on this planet, which I believe we're going to get us back to what we have to realize is truth in life.
But
and I honestly believe that, hey, you know, we're killing the planet right now, but he can correct it all. Boom. With the snap of his fingers, so keep that in mind.
I agree,
but something that brings peace to my heart.
But But in the same sense, let us not forget that no man knows the time of day. They have come like a thief in the night. Death will join us all like a thief in the night. Death isn't going to send us a postcard and say, hey, brother, I'm on my way. Get ready to die. You know. So with that said, if you want a better world, it's going to be up to you to do just that, is to make it a better world and follow your faith and shine that light and lead by example is the only hope that we've got right now until the return of whoever you believe to be God. That's all I can say. But as it goes, the book says it's coming to a bad end and then have a good ending afterwards, but just common sense, looking out there to see what is going on in the world. Anyone with any common sense could see that we're heading off the cliff and the bus driver's a nut. And so, you know, hey, either all of us get up there and put our foot on the brakes, or we all go over the cliff together and brace for impact. Because what we are left with, if my belief is wrong and there is not going to be any return of Jesus Christ, then we got a mess to live in. And when we get to the other side, the elite are still going to be rich. They're still going to be the elite, you know. You gave them everything they need. You gave them your money. You gave them your faith. You gave them everything. You gave them the weapons. And they've actually suckered you in to using everything that you gave them to go out and hurt other people. That's a track record. That's a track record that sucks.
You know, Shazam's just one of these new jet fighters that the American government want to buy. Forget what the price tag is. It's in the billions of dollars. If just one of those jets would buy every homeless person in the United States of America a $250,000 house.
Yep.
Just one of those jets.
Just think how many sandwiches that would put into poor people's hands. Just think how many starving people could be fed. Just think that if we took every bit of money that all nations have wasted on defense and wars and destruction, if we took every single penny that we put out there for just that cause alone, we could solve every single issue. There wouldn't be nobody running around with lousy clothes on. Everybody would be dressed in the best name brand clothes and be well fed, and everybody would just be living hunky dory, and everything would be just wonderful. But you know what? Hey, greed, corruption, stupidity, and passive individuals who would just idly sit by and just say, well, if it's not in my backyard, then it really doesn't matter to me right at this point in time. Your bubble's going to burst someday, people, if we keep going the way we're going.
I hate to rain on your parade, folks, but that money the government doesn't have, they're going to borrow it, and that's going to be money borrowed against the future of your children.
Yeah, I mean, guess it pays it back.
Yeah, it just goes right into the hand of the rich and the elite, man, through the military-industrial complex. And when people really have to wake up to what's going on with wars on this planet, the perpetuation of war, the both fought on both sides are controlled by the banks, the decisions, the outcomes are all predetermined. Every war that starts on this planet is predetermined. The involvement, the occupants, how it's going to go down, it's all pre-planned. It's all done to take more and more money out of the common man's hands and give it to the industrial military complex. And that's exactly what's happening in our world. They create the problem, they have the solution, the reaction, everything works exactly to their plan.
That's
and
right.
That's what we have to stop.
And when you go bankrupt, the bank and the lenders out there come and take away everything you own. When the banks go bankrupt, the banks get bailed out with your tax dollars, then they turn around and still foreclose on your house and still are able to turn around and resell that house, so they got paid by your money. They got paid by somebody else again for the property. They made profit after profit. So when it's all said and done, when the banks go broke, so to speak, the people behind the banks, they still are rich. They didn't lose nothing. They got insider trader knowledge. They know when the stocks are going to go up and down because they spend their time manipulating gold markets and silver markets and oil markets and so on and so forth. You know?
Yeah.
And they pay propagandists, which we call mainstream media, to spread the lies to get you to go out and buy the generators during the whole Y2K, to get you to go out and buy your survival gear and your bunkers and your guns and ammunition. They talk about gun control, but it's ironic that every single time that something like that comes on, there's a surge in the market, so the gun manufacturers are making a massive amount of money during those times. So, you know, hey, this, go tell the world, go tell the American citizens that they ain't going to have gasoline tomorrow and watch the reaction. All right?
Yeah.
They're all going to be at the gas station that night getting theirs. Does that not leave a good moral to the story to be said? If somebody's afraid that they ain't going to have, then they buy a little bit of insurance. Your house might burn down, so you buy insurance. Your car might get crashed, so you buy insurance. You might get sued, so you buy insurance. You might die, so you buy insurance. You might get sick, so you buy insurance. But when it comes down to protecting your countries and your freedom and your life, you are trusting in the government to take care of you.
And you don't think they're going to blindside us? Should this? You don't think that's in the works?
I'm sure they will. That's what they do. Don't pay no attention to that guy behind the curtain and watch this fist over here while I sock you in the jaw with the other one. You know? That's what's going on.
And that's something, you know, we talked about before. So it's the one thing that society really, and I really, if I was going to say anything to anybody and put some urgency into it, we cannot have an armed confrontation with the government. If we go down that path, they are going to win. Because you know and I know, Shaziz, that government technology is far, far ahead of what the common man understands. And they have toys and things set aside. I'm sure of this, but they have toys and things set aside when the hammer comes down and they want to pull off their major shot, which I believe is coming very shortly. They're going to list some things on the human race that we don't even identify, i.e., who knows what they have for space-based weapons? They have stuff that we don't know. Frequency weapons, there's all this stuff that we're not even aware of. And who knows what they're going to unleash on the human race when we get to a state of martial law. I really, really have to urge you people that we do not want to get into an armed confrontation with the government. We have to do this through mechanisms like the National Liberty Alliance, through all the court challenges right now that are happening, all of the government agencies that are being sued.
Amen.
We have to stand in mass. And do this illegally because they are pushing us to go down this road. They're funneling us in that direction. And that is something I really, really urge people to be aware of and take a look at because that's where they want us to go. How many executive orders has Obama signed that will come in effect if they declare martial law in the United States of America? These executive orders, the contents of them, most Americans aren't even aware of, she says, and yet when they're implicated, every right that you have as an American citizen will be stripped instantly. And you will have no rights, none. And what are you going to do? At that point, the hammer is in place and the mechanism of control is implicated. And that is what we really have to avoid, guys. I want to urge that one more time, but that is what I see them doing, and that's what we have to avoid.
Well, I agree. There's an interesting comment in there. In the chat room over on the Wake Radio side, it said, your soul made a choice to incarnate into this lifetime on Earth. It desires the experience of beauty and abundance in the physical lifetime. Yet, in order to come into full realization and experience it, it had to forget who it was upon incarnation. Well, brother, if that's really, truly the case, then it doesn't explain my soul because I know my soul. I didn't want none of this. If I'd have known that I'd had to go through this kind of experience to see the suffering and the plagues and the famine and all the craziness, the conspiracy theories, the wars, the rumors of wars, I would have had no part into it. You couldn't drag me into this world as a soul just to experience that. I have no will, no way, no want, no need to even be in a situation such as I am. I was raised as a loving individual. I was raised in my own personal faith. I've seen the world in its best times. I've seen it in its worst times. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And regardless of whether, you know, what you believe in or not, had I have known on the other side anything remotely like what I've had to witness since I've been here. When you watch as somebody across this world, multiple somebodies, behead, four ladies, topless ladies, behead right before your very eyes, and you know 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was not a fake video. You know it was real. And if that doesn't affect you to the core, if that doesn't convince you that there is 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt pure evil in this world, how could any soul want to come into this world just to experience the destruction, the evilness of what I witnessed with my own two eyes? I know that there's evil in this world because I've looked in the face of evil. I've looked into the face of pure evil. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And I don't want this for you. I don't want it for your children. I don't want it for your children's children. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy to have to see or witness or feel or go through anything like that. To set a man on fire, even in a movie, what kind of soul thinks of that? To take a man's life or a woman's life or to chainsaw somebody or to molest a child, what kind of soul thinks about that? What kind of soul would choose to come into this world to molest a child or chop off somebody's head or hands or take their life? What kind of soul would want to experience that? If that was the beginning, and if that was the kind of person that I was before I was incarnated into this world, I would not want any part of it. I would despise myself till the end of time. That's not me.
Maybe a soul didn't come into this earth like that. Maybe because of all the influence. You look at our bullies, the politicians, you look at the video games, the music videos, everything that can influence, even peers can influence a child into doing things that they don't want to do, but then it becomes natural to them.
Now, I believe if you knew ahead of time you had a choice, I believe if you knew ahead of time that you had a choice, you come in there, you would make your own decisions. Even if you couldn't remember who you was, you're still responsible for your own actions. At the core, your soul is your soul, period. And so if I come into this world...
There is such thing as reincarnation. I think it's because you didn't get it right last time.
If I come in this world to do evil, then I'm responsible for evil. If I saw that this world was the way it is, I wouldn't have came in at all. Period. Unless I was sent here by some sort of divine creator, which a lot of folks in this world deny that there is a divine creator, unless I was sent here to try to fix it, I wouldn't have came unless it was a mission of I'm coming in here to try to help save and stop the insanity, the murder, the craziness. You know what I'm saying?
I experience the same thoughts every time I see a pregnant woman. And I say to myself, boy, what kind of world is that little baby coming into? And if it knew, it wouldn't want to come here, that's for sure. Because we are not leaving a very good legacy right now for our children. But you know what, Shazoo's, we've all been duped. I was duped many, many years in my life. I never, ever, ever thought at one point in my life, you know, when I was 20, 25 years old, that this kind of things were going on. But now I'm aware of it, and all we can do at this point is try and correct it, because, like you said, many of us have been duped. Many of us are still duped. Many of us still aren't fully aware of what's going on. And if we were, we'd be doing what you and me and Mike and Justin are doing right now. We'd sit here talking about it.
Well, I think just by us trying to get the word out that there is some sort of hope, there is some sort of possibilities towards a good solution, that we are sending ripples out there that are definitely making a difference. If I'm wrong, then it doesn't explain why our networks keep growing on mass scales. I mean, if you want to call it people of mass awakening, then call it that. But either way, I feel the urgency. You said so yourself that you feel the urgency. All of us feel the urgency that this needs to be addressed, because on the road that we're on, I don't want to end up in a FEMA camp. I don't want my kids to end up in a FEMA camp. I don't want the wars. I don't want to see World War III. I don't want the nuclear bombs flying over our heads and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't want the world living in fear and terror and sickness and evil. So I'm doing the only thing I can do. It is the same thing you're doing, all the thing you can do with the resources that we have available. We're opening our mouth and we're using the power of the spoken words to talk about common sense, you know.
On that note, I'm going to have to leave you guys. I've got to be somewhere in about 10 minutes. But you know what? If we fall over the edge, guys, there ain't any coming back.
Yeah.
So really, really,
that's right.
Take a look at what's going on around us, guys.
Have your parachute ready if we go over.
Yeah, it's going to be a long and hard fall. Hey, guys, thanks for having me in again this weekend. Like I said, I've got to be somewhere in about 10 minutes from now, so I'm going to have to step out. But we'll join you again next week. Thanks to Liz and Money and Justin. Nice talking to you guys.
I appreciate it. I'll let you guys say something real quick, but keep in mind we're down to the wire. I want to play something out of here, so we're going to have a little bit less time. So if you guys want to say your final piece there, I'd appreciate it if you speed it up a hair.
Okay, good day, gentlemen.
Take care. Buddy?
I'll let somebody else go first.
Justin?
Just be happy and be yourself.
Yeah, don't give up on your hope. Don't give up on your faith. What about you, Muddy?
Yeah, like I said, if we are reincarnated, which is something I really don't really believe in, but I did have thoughts. If we are reincarnated, it's like a second chance to get it right this time. We're down here to learn. You say, there's no way you could see yourself doing some things and stuff, and looking at the pure evil of it all. I said it once before, we're down here to learn why we can't take the evil to heaven and why it doesn't belong there.
I know my soul. I know me. I know who I am. I know my mistakes. I know
you
my
look
right
at those atrocities. You look at those atrocities, you know. It can't be. It can't exist in heaven. It can't exist where you take it from here. So you got to shed it here. You got to learn the lesson. Get it right.
Yep.
People, you got to learn to love. This stuff doesn't belong anywhere. It doesn't belong here. It doesn't belong anywhere. Learn to love people. Do the best you can to help others. And gosh, kind of just speechless. Really don't know what to say about it, but I know we're heading for a lot. Barry's right. You can't just go out there and fight it, because, like I said, they got technology way above you.
Well, I'm thinking we
like
need
I said
each
before,
other.
Don't even take your cell phone with you. Don't any. If you got to look out, don't take your cell phone. Don't take anything electronic.
They have the technology because of us.
Well, no. That's all the more reason why
so
we need
can
each
take
other.
Take it away.
The Bible says it's the veil will be lifted, and you will see the cleverly devised fable. And basically, that is a very intricate thing that is planned, a plot that is set against you for a long time. Each little working, it's like when I worked on clocks a long time ago. I used to build clocks, and I worked on old clocks, cleaning them up, refurbishing them, and fixing them. And it was one that did the phases of the moon, the stars, everything, the planets, and leap years, the whole schmear. And it was a very intricate work, and I was very proud to work on it. I do not think that I could have designed it, and I had to learn it as I was fixing it. This cleverly devised fable is more intertwined than that. It's like how many ones and zeros that are on your computer, and its intricacy of plans.
Yep, there's definitely a design somewhere.
It all fits. It's way above our head.
All right, we got to go, guys. Thanks.
All right,
thanks again. Awesome discussion today. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I want to play you up out of here with something that you probably heard many times before, but I think it's worth being said. So with that said, thanks Justin, thanks Muddy, and Barry and Dublin. And thanks to everybody out there listening. Take care.
Thank you all.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh!
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfills the Turbo, and the Knights of the Round Table.